Hello and thanks for tuning in. For Municipal World, I'm Sean Meyer. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, the celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities. Thank you for joining us for this special episode of MW Shares, sponsored by the Greater Ottawa Home Builders Association. Today, our guest is Jason Burgraff. Jason is the executive director of the Greater Ottawa Home Builders Association, where he focuses on municipal policy related to housing and development. Prior to joining the organization in 2018, Jason worked at the Canadian Home Builders Association for 15 years. He is an advocate for housing affordability and works closely with government officials across all orders of government. Today, we will discuss how Ottawa's housing crisis has reached a breaking point, with housing attainability and the cost of living being top issues for residents and home builders alike. With rising costs putting home ownership out of reach across the country, the home builders in Ottawa have identified priority policy actions to stimulate building and restore affordability. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. So how would you describe the current state of Ottawa's housing market, and what are these key factors you think are driving the affordability challenges?
Yeah, it's getting to the point now where basically no one can really get into the market. And you're seeing this across the country. Ottawa is not the only example by any means.
Sure.
A lot of people are waiting on the sidelines because just now prices, the cost to put a house together and put it out for a sale, people just can't afford. So everyone's sort of waiting for those prices to kind of come down. And we're really starting to see a big disparity between the housing supply and housing demand. The cost of housing, of course, has been growing over the past decade. And now it's really getting to the point where people just can't afford anything moving forward. So that's preventing not only purchasing, but the construction of housing too, because you just can't make that pro forma work. And that's, freeholds, rentals, condos, townhomes, everything across the spectrum right now is just starting slowly grinding to a halt.
Which is not a good thing. So for listeners who may not be familiar, just what are the roadblocks that are preventing these things from actually getting built?
Yeah, the big, of course, all the inputs on cost, the land prices have, doubled easily, if not more, over the past little bit. Rising construction costs, labor costs as well. And it's also then government fees, taxes, charges that go into housing have gone up exponentially over the past 10 years. Development charges have gone up 30% in the past 2 years, and they've doubled in the past 10. And there's a lot of less flexibility about, having land to put housing on. So it's really become an issue of getting supply, again, at that affordable price point that Ottawa residents can kind of get. And that's the biggest pieces right now, just cost and timing as they always are.
So a lot of people believe that home builders, as I'm sure you've heard, are part of the problem. So based on what you've said, that doesn't really seem to be the case. So can you talk a bit more about the unique role that home builders actually have and how they really fit into this equation?
Yeah, the big thing we try to do is say, okay, here's current, especially when we make our representations to government, we say, okay, here's the current situation, here's the things that you want to achieve, and here are the practical roadblocks that we see that are in place. The city says, hey, we want to see more intensification around LRT stations, we want to see, low-rise density increases in neighborhoods. We say, okay, that's great. Here are the practical barriers that are in place right now that are preventing the construction of those types of housing. And this is what you need to do if you want to jumpstart. If you want, you want to start getting those pieces built, especially in the target areas that you want to build them. So we've seen the city now start to come back on that and say, okay, let's reduce community benefits charges, in those protected major transit stations. Let's drop cash in lieu and defer parklands, those sorts of things. So we're starting to see the city respond in order to get the types of housing that they're targeting. Oh, and one more thing that I wanted to make sure that I got out about kind of the role of home building, especially when you look at that kind of pro forma question, right? There's always a question about builder profit. And the reality is, it's almost like any other for-profit business, right? There's about an 8 to 10% profit. That's pretty much, what you need to run any sort of business in any sector,
sure.
in any part of the kind of the economy, right? That's where that kind of pie, slice of the pie is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I think that's really important, because if you look at the totality of what a home costs, and you start breaking it out by, you know, the profit is kind of the small, one of the smallest pieces, right? Like the, sure. the construction, the materials cost, the labor cost, the land cost, are all big portions, but the biggest portion is really the fees, government taxes and charges, including development charges, including HST, including land transfer tax that gets put on, you know, there's a tax on tax element there too. You know, in any municipality, certainly in Ontario, that's going somewhere between about 20 to 30% of that housing, of that, you know, that price point for a house, no matter whatever type of house it is in the end. So, yeah, I think it's always a question that kind of comes up. So I just wanted to make sure that we got that covered as well.
Well, I think it's a good point, because as we talked just moments earlier, home builders are sort of seen as part of the problem. Oh, somehow they're driving the prices up. Well, like any other business, if you don't make at least some piece of profit, you're not going to build more homes. So
no, you're not going
to figure that in.
Yeah, you're not going to be a business. And frankly, no bank will lend to you without you proving that the pro forma, you know, spells it out, that it's a profitable venture to begin with. So, yeah, it's a critical part of getting housing supply and making sure that projects are viable.
So I know the City of Ottawa's new housing acceleration plan is a thing that is hopefully going to help. And we have seen changes being announced in the federal budget recently. So I'm guessing you see that as progress, but what gaps are you identifying that are still out there?
Yeah. So, and when I mentioned about CBCs and the cash in lieu before, that is part of the acceleration plan. And which really kind of shows that the city really is committed now to getting past those barriers and getting them below, so that they're, you know, that housing can move ahead. The other big thing now is going to be sort of the longer term things of looking, you know, end to end the development application process, and how can you shorten that? Like, one of the big things is over the past 3-4 years, the process from approvals of the council to registration, where you can actually, you know, pull a building permit, that process, the timing doubled or tripled. It went from like 200 days to 600 days over the past 3 years. So that, you know, that people kind of forget there's a lot of process after a council says yes to a project that still has to happen. So, you know, that length of time, when you're talking, you know, 5 years for a site plan, you know, before something gets going, or even longer in the case of a subdivision, right? That, you know, the market has changed so substantially by the time, you know, from the time you said, okay, we're going to go, to the point now where you're actually be able to put it to market, that really needs, we need to cut down that time frame substantially, so that, you know, the economic metrics that we're considering for a project are hopefully about the same by the time you're actually ready to start selling to the public. So that's, you know, I think we're seeing that with the city now, and the feds seem to be signaling that they appreciate that too, by starting, you know, saying they're going to drop HST, at least for first-time buyers. We would obviously like to see them expand to all new home construction, because you're still talking about, well, at least here in Ontario, right, a $70,000 tag on to the cost of any home.
Always jarring when you actually put a number to it. So I know your organization has identified three key areas to stimulate building and restore affordability. Can you sort of walk us through these priorities and why they matter most right now?
Yeah, I mean, development charges are first and foremost. You've got to find a better way of paying for that additional growth payments. Because you're talking, you know, in Ottawa alone, a single detached home outside the green belt is about $65,000. That's about the middle of the pack for Ontario in terms of cost. But that's still, you know, that's a good 10%. And that's just the DC charge alone, not including, you know, application fees and a number of other things that kind of go into it. So first and foremost, we've got to kind of start considering, how do we get that development charge down? You know, can other levels of government come in and supplement that like they used to in the past? Like DCs we have now are only like the system we have now has only really been in place about 25 years. Like houses were built long before that, right? Without this additional
Indeed.
development charge added into it, right? So we got to kind of, the pyramid on that has really started to collapse in terms of, again, like I said, DCs have increased 30% over the past 2 years, have doubled in the past 10. It's the number of new houses can't accommodate that continuously rising increase on cost. And then that ties directly into the federal government supporting, that infrastructure, coming in with more money for water and wastewater and roads and transit and things like that. Promises that they've sort of hinted at, might be coming. But that's really what it's going to take to supplement that growth. And then finally, for us, it's getting more land to be available for housing. The reality is most people want to, live in some sort of ground-oriented housing. So what we're finding is if you don't supply a sufficient amount of low-rise homes, right? Not just singles, but a lot of townhomes, smaller 3-4 story apartment buildings. If you don't supply that, then people leave and they go to a place where they can. So we're seeing significant out migration from Ottawa to Carleton Place, to Empire, to Rockland, to Kempville, right? Places that are still within sort of that hour commuter drive, to those new bedroom communities. And those communities are exploding because they're offering the type of housing with a lifestyle that goes with that type of housing that Ottawa can't provide anymore. So if we want to avoid kind of, the hollowing out of Ottawa, like we've seen in Vancouver, where you can't, regular people can't live within the community that they work, we're starting to get to the point where now we could really be tipping the scale on that here in Ottawa as well, where people are just moving out to those bedroom communities.
Really unsettling thought if you're a councillor in the city of Ottawa, I'm sure. So the new zoning bylaw heads to committee this month, and more than 3.5 years since this process started. How critical is zoning reform to unlocking the new housing supply? And what's your perspective on those proposed changes that I know are out there?
Yeah, and you know what? The zoning bylaw has actually done a really good job of being progressive and recognizing, hey, if we want significant intensification, like I said earlier, around LRT stations, especially we want a lot more intensification in neighborhoods, then we need to, get the right things in place so that there's a lot less friction to build to that. And that's what we've seen. There's more front yard parking. There's less minimum parking around for site plan. There's now a uniform 11 meters height across all neighborhood zones across the city. So that's going to allow, up to three full stories to be built in any neighborhood. The city, I will say for sure, has kind of put their money where their mouth is related to the zoning bylaw to achieve, again, their intensification goals. So I'm really looking forward to, admittedly, it's been a long time coming, and it takes a while to kind of get these things together. But I am going to be very glad when this zoning is in place, because it's going to allow for, again, a lot less friction, a more frictionless build within the city. And that's what that's what you need for housing.
Too true. So what specific actions or partnerships do you believe are sort of needed to maybe turn these plans into real on-the-ground results for people of Ottawa?
GOBA is going to continue to work with the city, being that kind of constructive criticism partner of continuing to identify barriers and where the hiccups or where the pinch points are in the development application process. We've still got a lot of work. There's still a lot of pieces to come forward, and like I said, about doing that development application and trying to reduce that timeline and what goes into that. And ultimately, home builders are the experts on the ground who actually build housing. So it makes a lot of sense to listen to what they have to say of these are the things that are tripping us up. So if you, municipality, Ottawa, whomever, want to really unlock the housing supply in your area, and you want to restore affordability, ask your local home builders who are operating, right? What's the issue? Where are you getting tripped up? What do you find are the biggest cost pieces? And let's work together to get over those and get the housing supply that they want to build and that you want to see.
I think that's an excellent point that you raised. You do sort of, it doesn't matter the community, we can look past Ottawa right now.
Absolutely.
And any community, you need to interact with your home builders and talk to them, whether you're prospective buyer or a counselor, I'm guessing you are advocating for people reaching out to your colleagues and having like direct conversations.
Yeah, that's why home builders, exist, is to speak to, yes, I speak to every level of government, but my primary partner is the city of Ottawa, right? My job is to represent a collective voice of all the home builders in town and say, here's where things are getting gummed up, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want new communities, you want higher density around transit stations, you want neighborhood infill, here are the issues that we're having, setbacks or zoning or whatever it happens to be, infrastructure support, all of those pieces, we can get you, the expertise of how to get past it. And then we work together to achieve our common goals. It's critical to remember that home builders also live in the communities that they build. Like it's their town too, right? And they want to see it. And Ottawa is an especially good example where, virtually all of the companies that are operating in it originated here, right? Certainly the biggest ones, but all the small ones too, are family owned for the most part. They originated here. They started here in Ottawa. So they've, they've got deep roots in the community, and they're community builders as much as, any other business. And that's really critical for the success. They want to see the success of their town as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I think you've given folks a lot to think about, both from a home builder's perspective, but from a municipal perspective as well. So I really appreciate your time, Jason. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shaw, for having me on.
My pleasure.
We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.